Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I am your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X, the Everything app. It is all happening on X at JWright929. As always, you can listen to us on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're from way from the radio and you just want to keep celebrating, enjoying all these wins that are going on right now for the Memphis Grizzlies and course, their big draft night. You can keep listening to us on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can also stream us on iHeartRadio as well as TuneIn Radio. We'll stick with that right now while we work on getting the live video up. George has had quite the 48 hours trying to work with that. That, of course, is the voice of the producer of the program. He, of course, is George Ruggiero. Follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's it going, brother?
Oh, it goes great, my man. It's great to have exciting things to talk about. So we will, of course, start with buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We will focus primarily on the events of last night up in the Barclays Center at Brooklyn as the Memphis Grizzlies have selected Cam Boozer at number 3 after 35 seconds of a heart attack, thinking that the Grizzlies were taking Bennett Sturts and we're going to have to erase the tape and thinking of the spin zones. I mean, I would have come up with the spin zone. Don't worry.
I would not have erased that tape. I would have Becky Hammond that.
No, we would have listened, spirit of full integrity. We probably would have played that clip relentlessly.
That's fine.
It was a lot like, who was the USC receiver? Mekhi Lemon. Where I was lower on him, I felt like, than some of the other receivers. And then when the Eagles took him.
Oh, it's immediately like, great pick.
I'm wrong. Howie did it again. When you find out that the Grizzlies take Bennett Sturts, there was the quick panic attack for your boy. And then you find out that he's been traded to the Thunder. And then you have the, oh my God, was I wrong all along?
I mean, I think a lot of what we kind of think about him, I think he kind of just is what he is at this point. Like, he's one of the older prospects. He just is what he is at this point. Is it because they're going to have to trade off and sell off a bunch of their pieces probably? And they want an older guy?
I think he probably fits. Also, like, they're not going to, they have a lead ball guy.
Yeah, they don't need.
Correct. So
like a true one.
He can be a bit piece, whereas I think the Grizzlies last night were primarily trying to build on the core.
Right.
And I don't know if they're going to ask Bennett Sturts to be, you know, a starter within 2 years, which is what I think. While maybe the Grizzlies won't ask Kareem Lopez to be a starter, I think they are very high on him. Like, I think they believe in the potential, and I don't think they're, like, ruling it out. It feels to me more of Sturts is very much going to be a specialist, but congratulations to his 10-time All-Star career, future Hall of Fame, standing, great family. Like, that was lovely. There was also the weird moment where I don't know which broadcast, because we're going to get into that. I ended up going with the ABC broadcast.
Okay.
So they have Cam and Caleb Wilson on the desk.
Yes.
During the actual announcement, and Cam's like, let's go. Great shooter, going all this. Like, he was kind of making the spin zone for me, and then like 12 seconds later, Dari Noko has to break the news. Oh, he's going to Oklahoma City.
And I wonder, did they do the same thing like with the next pick with Akori? Were they still on the desk?
So it took a. So they definitely thought Akori was going to the Grizzlies, but then before, like, they, I want to say maybe by the time like he'd gone to the stage, they were aware that there had been another trade.
Okay.
But there was definitely mass confusion.
Because there was even that weird part of it where the original reporting on the first trade down was just 16 for 2 seconds, and everyone's kind of freaking out.
I think Matt Moore, Hardwood Paroxysm on Twitter, on X, the Everything app, it's all happening on X.
Right.
he correctly pointed out, I think I was going to have a stroke. Like, the idea of trading out of 16 for 2 seconds, right? Because that was originally.
That was the original reporting.
The original announcement from Shams was 2 seconds, but he did not reference while also switching to 17.
Right.
That caused everyone mass confusion.
Oh, and I'm in one of my group chats with, and there's a Thunder fan in there. He's freaking out like, oh my gosh, we just stole a pick.
Correct.
And I'm like, hold on, let me see a second. And then I, without referencing the tweet, I'm like, or excuse me, the X or whatever.
The post, I don't know.
Whatever.
I think we can still call it tweets. We just have to make sure it's X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X.
It's like a Tribe Called Quest. You got to say the whole
correct.
Thing.
Or it's kind of like Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, which I watched on the plane, which was a wild experience.
Was it good?
I think. I watched the whole thing, and like
You didn't come away hating it.
Correct.
It seems. Okay, that's...
But it was something.
That tracks. So I'm like, hold on, there's no way this is just for 16. There's no chance. And then I say, okay, 17's also involved. He's like, I haven't seen that anywhere. And then I send the tweet, and he's like, okay, yeah.
No, there was...
Because he was fired up.
Didn't feel like it was a great night for Shams.
Woj would never.
Woj would never have. But I think we've kind of... Listen, I've been on this beat before. He was just better at the internet. And then there was always the rivalry. So there was that moment of panic. Then the Grizzlies then trade 17 to Detroit and add 3 more seconds. But then Shams like had another confusing tweet where it was like, so here's the total package the Grizzlies have got from trading down. And he said 3 picks. And I was like, well, did they get 3 or did they get 5?
They got 5.
Correct.
We figured it out. We parsed it out.
And, like, I get it. Hey, man, he's on live TV, and he's got all that flying. And I believe we never found out the actual seconds until Zach spoke last night.
There was that, and there was someone else posting about it. It wasn't from Steinlein. It was...
Jake Fisher?
Was it Fisher?
I don't know.
Because I don't think it was Fisher, and I don't think it was Mark Stein, that is. I'd have to go back and look, but there was some reporting before Kleiman spoke.
I want to say it's like a 28, 29, a 30, a 31, and a 32, something like that, somewhere in that area.
Right. It was well down the road, which, okay, fine.
So we had that. We had that, and then we select at 21, they select Kareem Lopez, which was a guy that you've singled out that was moving up. Fran Fraschilla was very high on the pick. Guy that I don't really know. I didn't know how to parse out who fell and who rose in that. Like, once we got to, like, 15.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty obvious to me. I think we can all agree. Mo Johnson going 9 felt like a riser.
Definitely. Almost. To be considered a bit of a stretch, maybe.
Yeah, I think the other thing that was confusing about it was there had been speculation with the Mavericks hiring Dusty May that they were going to go with Mara.
Yes.
And so...
Which, I maybe in hindsight, we probably could have thought out a little bit better. They still have Gafford under contract, and they still have Derek Lively, and both those guys are more than serviceable bigs. Maybe we could have picked that out a little bit better, but Mara was the one that had been rising out of the three guys.
Yeah, and I just think that if I would have said the Mavericks are going to take
a Michigan player,
I think most would have bet on Mara.
Yes.
I like Mo Johnson.
Me too.
Again, I'm with you. It felt like a reach. It was the first moment that we had in the draft where everything wasn't just going to script.
Right.
Like chalky. And then you had that moment, but it felt like 15 through, honestly, maybe like all the way to like Terrace Reed at 26. Like there was a lot of jumbling.
Yeah, things definitely the deck got shuffled, and some guys that we thought were going to go higher went lower, and guys that thought we were going to go lower, like seeing Zuby Ejiofor going in the first round, I think was a little bit of a shock for a lot of people. Both of the guards, being Carr and Filon, dropping into the early 20s was surprising.
Yeah.
Is it just, I mean, is it because they're slight? Like, they're both really lean.
I guess. I mean, it's not an exact science.
Right.
I don't know. Let's get into it. We're also going to take your phone calls, so we're going to let you celebrate as well during the next segment. So we'll discuss that. We'll get into the other news of the day during the list. Jason Munns, who was down at FedEx Forum during the draft party, he's going to join us at 2 o'clock. We'll tie up some loose ends. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. Let's get right into the meat of it. Let's do some buy, sell, short, go to Reddit.
All right, Jeffrey, this is a question that we even kind of pondered a couple days ago, even into, you know, yesterday.
We'll give a hockey assist to Kevin Cerrito.
Absolutely. Last night was the most exciting draft night in Grizzlies history. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
I think I'm going to buy it. So, Jaws draft night was a great night.
Oh, yeah.
But there was, we knew what was happening. The Pelicans were taking Zion. The Grizzlies were taking Ja. There wasn't a ton of suspense. And so it was more of like a celebration. I was trying to think of some other ones where, like, honestly, the Thabit one was kind of a funeral. Like, nobody was really that pumped about it.
Right.
I mean, I remember my buddy coming up with the song, "We Got Thabit, We Got Thabit, We Got Thabit. We should have took anybody." And that was that night. That was not
days later.
No, that was not a year later. That was.
Yeesh.
I mean, I was mad because they didn't take Steph. But I mean, literally, we were at the point where, like, take anyone, Tyreek, anyone, like Harden. We didn't care, like whoever, just not him. With all due respect, I'm sure he's a lovely man.
Only heard good things.
I mean, I remember being at what was called the Bluff at the time for the 92.9 draft watch party that Jason and John hosted when Jaren was selected. And to say it was mixed would be putting it kindly. Like, it was like when Roman Reigns was a face in WWE, where you could maybe hear a few people cheering, but there was a lot of boos.
Yeah.
A lot of boos. Now, that turned out to be a good selection.
Definitely.
But the other ones, I mean, forever, you got to remember, the draft was kind of the joke. Like, the Grizzlies were horrible at it.
Yeah.
And so there was less anticipation for the draft. There was more of like a dread. It was not that exciting. And last night, I mean, whether it be the watch parties, the scene at FedEx Forum, I mean, I think Jeff said he believes there were around 5,000 people there.
That's a good crowd. Really good for a random Tuesday night.
Crowd was super into it. I did think one of the most heartwarming moments of the night was when the Jazz selected Darren Peterson and everybody went nuts.
That was really good.
I loved
the sign.
Well, it is. Yeah, the
welcome starts marked out. Akori marked out.
The kid with his Knicks Brunson jersey that he changed to Boozer. I felt like, in general, everybody kind of knew what the score was. Not a fun season. Not a lot to look forward to, because it wasn't even the type of bad season where at least you could play some of the young guys and enjoy that. It was just, hey, man, they were trying to get the best draft pick they could. And we knew what the score was. Wasn't a ton of fun to watch. And you felt last night a renewed sense of energy, a sense of anticipation. And honestly, I think I was taken back. I love Boozer, and I've been excited about him.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like the default setting was more muted, like, that's the guy we want. You felt enthusiasm last night.
Oh, people were fired up.
Yes.
For Cam Boozer to come to town. And, I mean, for one, I get it. Like, going from what we have been dealing with the last, you know, last season, how many seasons even prior to that with drama off the court or just a ton of injuries. And I don't
disappointing even, ends like just
right. Know, and I don't mean
limping to the finish. Fired coach with what 11
seven games
ago? Yeah, whatever it was.
Like not even putting it on one specific thing because it hasn't been.
No,
one
it was a
thing.
Pile on.
It was okay. This happens. Something else happens. Something. It just continued and continued to get worse. And
drama
worse and
with
worse.
The renovations.
The lead. You know
all that. Yes.
Everything going on, and then last night. The Grizzlies bring in a guy who we already look at as a consummate professional.
Yes.
Who's going to immediately step onto an NBA floor and be a contributor, hopefully for winning basketball.
I mean, I know he has a high profile. I mean, the guy had AT&T ads running during the NCAA tournament.
State Farm was really good, by the way.
But, I mean, ESPN was like trying to put him on the screen as much as possible.
Yeah.
And obviously,
same with Peterson and AJ. You know, they were on a ton.
But, I mean, they were trying to get as much Cam Boozer as they could. And I don't know. Like, I don't want to say blown away by the enthusiasm, but it was, like, encouraging because I think the guy's really good.
Yes.
And this is not even spin zone just because the Grizzlies took him. I felt like on the island early when everybody had – heart emoji eyes for Caleb Wilson, I was like, I'd rather have Boozer. And I hate Duke.
It's true. That is well documented.
Correct.
Well documented.
But I was like, I kind of want that guy.
Oh, the guy
and
who
I felt,
was the
I
guy
felt like
who's
I was
won
the
it.
Dumb one.
The guy who has won at every single level had, 20-10 season last year as a true freshman, the youngest out of the top three.
He's 18 years old. I mean,
and you're the crazy one.
I mean, I think Harrington put it in his write-up yesterday or last night. There's an argument he's the most decorated high school player ever.
It'd be a pretty good argument.
I mean, in terms of 4-time state champion, 3-time Mr. Basketball in the state of Florida, MVP of the McDonald's All-American game, MVP of the FIBA World Cup.
Was that U-17 or U-16?
He might have been twice.
Oh, geez.
Did I say McDonald's All-American mm-hmm. MVP?
Yep.
And then the Naismith Player of the Year. Like, there's an argument that he is the most decorated draft pick we've ever had. I'm not saying, like, that we've maybe... He's an argument he is...
He's not even in the NBA yet, and his, like...
His Wikipedia page...
On the career highlights, it already takes up almost the entire page.
Correct. So, and I just, there was something, for me, honestly, with Wilson, I get it. They're fluke injuries, and I wish him well.
Absolutely.
He's in the East, by all means. Chicago's fired up, excited.
Him and Bezelis are going to be super fun next to each other.
I wish him well, but it's like, I kind of want the guy with a little bit of mass to him. And they're fluke injuries, but he got hurt twice.
Yeah.
I get it.
I agree. Like, it would have been different if we're talking about soft tissue. Or,
correct.
You know, ligaments. Oh, no, he broke his thumb.
But my biggest concern was for him to reach the quote-unquote ceiling, he was going to have to be a better shooter than he was. And I'm not saying that he won't get there. But it's not like a certainty.
No.
So I just kind of defaulted to, I think this was a no-brainer. And I don't know if maybe it was in real time, the difference between online versus every other fan.
Yeah, like reality and eye test, all that stuff. Like what we're seeing versus the internet. Yeah.
But it was very obvious last night how the fan base felt. And it was enthusiasm and excitement. And then we get to, you know, the... Because I know some people always do the, is the guy going to want to be here? It's like, I never had those concerns. I never did all that. But I also don't sense like that's what it was. I just think everybody's excited because I think everybody's like, he's a good player.
Right. With any of the guys that we've seen anything from, especially in the top four, that was my kind of last concern, was the want to be here, want to get involved part of it
all.
I had none of that with any of these four guys.
They have one. They have two options. You can play if you want to play in the NBA, you're playing here.
Yeah.
And
they all seem like guys who are incredibly invested in their NBA careers.
Correct. So I
didn't have that sort of concern.
And
at
to be
all.
Clear, I don't think the Grizzlies did either.
No. And whether that would have been Boozer, Peterson,
I think it was pretty
Caleb.
Obvious. Whoever did not get selected first or second of those three, that person was going to be a Memphis Grizzly.
Yes. I don't think they had any concerns about that.
Now, I actually think, and again, you can maybe nitpick or in however you feel one way or the other, but I think they got their number one guy.
Yes. That is what, I mean, that's essentially what Kleiman told the media yesterday.
And I mean, obviously he's going to say that. I actually believe it though. I mean, I guarantee you.
It is a Duke guy.
I'm willing to bet. I can't guarantee it. I would bet on the draft board they had him at one. Especially for what you think about, like, what. Let's take the comments from Zach at the end of the year. Have to get stronger. Have to get bigger. Now, there can be some self-fulfilling prophecy in that.
Sure.
In which you know the things you need, and you start to value that, and so maybe you would stack that guy.
You bump that
correct.
Sort of thing, which is that self-fulfilling prophecy, or is that realizing a deficiency with the team and it just kind of working out?
Probably the latter.
Right.
I don't know if it has to be one or the other, but it's probably I would bet it's closer to the latter than it is the former.
Which, in a way, we can also kind of look at who they ended up getting later on in the first round, kind of in that similar framework, which.
Let's just do it. Let's go to the third one. Skip. We'll flip two and three.
Okay. Kind of with that in mind, Kareem Lopez's highlight tape is better than any pre-draft Caleb Wilson videos by Social Shorter Good Reddit.
Bye.
Okay.
I'm in on Mexican Luka.
Did you watch that, like, 5-minute highlight tape that was going around on Twitter last night?
I watched it, like, 10 times.
It's really good.
No, it's awesome.
It's really good. And, like, even to some of the things, because I'm buying this as well, like, I really liked what I saw out of Kareem Lopez.
It was, like, shocking. It was to see him, how fluidly he moved.
Yes.
How skilled he was with the basketball, like in his hands, like running the floor.
Some of those passes were insane.
It was awesome.
And like, even though like with one of his main, I don't want to say issues or areas for improvement,
33%
shooting.
Yeah.
The stroke is there. Like it was smooth. It wasn't, you know, there was no weird hitch in it. It wasn't broken. Again, this is a guy that we're talking about that's 19 and playing against grown men for 2 years.
Well, and also, like, before people go, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth with Wilson, we're not talking about the third pick.
No.
We're talking about at 21. So, if the Grizzlies would have selected Kareem Lopez at 3, yes, I would be very concerned about a 33% three-point shooter in the Australian League or
sure.
NBL.
Yes.
I'm not as concerned at 21 because it's not the opportunity cost.
Right. Well, no. If anything, they built themselves more opportunity, like better, you know, value out of taking him at 21. We're talking about a guy who, even as early as yesterday, was being rumored to be back end of the lottery even. Like, the range was very wide.
I think I saw someone, and it was Buzz. Last night was a great night for mock draft guys.
Oh yeah,
because anytime it goes chalk, those guys are feeling good. So
I think I saw him some places as high as like 11.
I thought someone at 10, maybe that's what it was. Maybe somebody had the Warriors at 11,
which that actually probably would have made sense for them too.
I mean, there is the video. I have no idea. It could be like the, you know, when we had the. After the Ty Simpson draft pick, and everybody thought McVay and Les Snead were yelling at each other.
The thing with what's his name? Is it, what's the owner's last name?
Kroenke?
No. I'm talking for the Warriors.
Oh yeah, look, Lurie. No, not Lurie. That's
Lacob. Something like that.
Lacob, I think. Yeah.
Something like that, yes.
Lacob. I think it's Lacob.
I think that's right.
And him and Dunleavy.
Yes.
We're apparently going at it. The context that seems to be is that they were arguing about the 11th pick.
I mean, they got Yaxel, though. I think he's going to be really good as soon as he steps on the floor for them.
I'm trying to remember. So, who else was at that range?
In mocks or on the board?
On the board.
Yaxel went 11, Mara went 12, Ament went 13.
Because we're now getting into the part of the draft where...
The Mo Johnson going so higher went a little weird.
Mo gets selected...
At 9.
Mo gets selected at 9, and then I had to put my daughter down.
Okay.
So I miss 10, 11, 12, and then I was back for Nate.
Burries went 10.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, like, I
you know,
I got caught up.
You know the guys.
Correct.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure why they would have been necessarily arguing about it. I mean, yes, we saw Mara mocked to the Warriors over and over and over again. And I kind of get it. They need size. But Yaxel kind of just steps into that lineup. And
I mean, there's the questions also with Mara. It's like, how long is he on the floor? And like, you have other... It's not a perfect selection. I almost wondered, though, if they were arguing about trading the pick.
So around the time we got to, what was it, 13 or 14?
So we know... Zach even admitted last night...
He was trying to move up.
They tried to move up. I mean, there were reports last night during the draft.
Yeah, wasn't it Bobby Marks was reporting that?
I also know our clutch points guy.
Oh, we talked about him yesterday.
New Woj, because he was just on Jason and John.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Brett Siegel. Brett Siegel had it out there, but I think Bobby... I stayed away from the ESPN broadcast. More on that in a second. So I don't know like what was getting said on the other broadcast. I don't know what was... like. I was just kind of mainly following on X, the Everything app. It was all happening on X.
Like the rumors and all that.
Correct. But we also... We knew that was in play.
Right.
So the other thing I was wondering is if they were arguing about trading the pick, because at that point, with Mo going at 9, there was still the possibility that you could have gotten I think you're right. Once Burries went, yeah. I think that's probably ended the pursuit.
Probably.
Because I think the other thing the Grizzlies more or less implicitly said the quiet part out loud, they just weren't interested in the second-tier guards. I think they were interested in the top-tier guards, but because if you think about it like this, they could have drafted Anderson, who was mocked to them.
Yep.
They could have drafted Okorie, which I guess technically they did. They could have gotten
They could have LeBaron, stuck with Sturts.
Could have stuck with Sturts, but I was trying to...
Carr as well was in that mix.
Yeah, Cam Carr was also there. And they didn't.
No.
So, now, I guess you can quibble with that. I was totally fine with it, because I've always made the joke, like, with the front office, like, they make a 36 on the math section in the ACT.
Yes.
They never tell you what their other scores were.
No.
They tell you a 36 in math.
That reading in science might have been...
I trust them in the draft.
Me too.
And so if they basically made the decision, because they could have gotten these guys.
Yep.
They made the decision, no, I'm cool with that, because I am at the point where it's like, I trust these guys to take the guys they believe in. And I would rather them take Kareem Lopez, who they believe in, because clearly... I mean, Zach went to...
Kleiman went to Australia to watch
it. I can't remember if he went to New Zealand or Australia, but Kleiman took a 20-hour flight to go see the guy play. They worked him out, and even Kareem said, you know, hey, I felt pretty good with them. And so if they believe in it, it's like, okay, I trust that. I'd rather them do that than do the
grit your teeth and bear it. And
kind of need a guard. Like,
which, like, as much as we, over this process, have talked about the fact that, yes, they do need a new lead guard for the team, there's every opportunity for them to either be able to get that somehow via trade, next year's draft. If we're looking
That's the other aspect. I mean, this
upcoming season, they have like 8 different guards that they've all played point guard
and they
for
need,
the team.
And they kind of need to sort it out.
Absolutely they do.
But it did beg the question, okay, what are these second round picks for? And
that was my question. I asked you guys specifically, you know, over text, what is Zach cooking?
I mean, my first instinct, this was my interpretation of reacting in real time. I was like, I think they're trying to stack up seconds so that they can attach it to Ja.
Because I think they're not
going to give up a first. No. Now, Chris Harrington pointed out in his post-draft recap, not just the write-up of the selections, but after Zach spoke, they are light on second-round picks.
That's true.
And so trying to stockpile that. I can see where that is the case of, hey, we know who everybody's targeting.
Right.
We are targeting Lopez. Let's just keep moving down. They're going to keep giving us stuff. And
we're still going to get our guy.
Correct.
Which
I'm fine with.
I have zero issue with it, I think it was just mainly surprising in the moment because that has not always been Kleiman's.
No, kind of
plan.
He has always moved.
Yes.
And he has moved down before. But I think it seemed to me my interpretation of events were when Burries was selected by Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
that ended their guard pursuit.
I could very easily see
because
that.
We also know right now they are shopping 32, but that was something we expected because of the roster crunch.
Yes.
If they make a selection tonight, it will either be a stash or likely to be a guy they could put on a two-way.
I don't even know what guys are available right now that they could stash. Kale is really the only one.
I mean, sometimes the guys that get stashed are guys that like nobody even had on the board.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking the easiest stashes are international guys.
Correct.
So,
but I'm saying sometimes you'll have like there'll be guys like I didn't even know this guy was in the draft.
Yeah, that's true.
So there is that. Okay, we'll save a couple of the other things because lots to get to. We'll of course be focusing on the draft. But you've heard George and I, him and Hall. Let's hear you talk. How did you feel about last night? You excited? What did you think of both picks? Cam, welcome to Memphis 901-445-0929. Tell us how you're feeling about the Grizzlies night one of the NBA draft. We'll talk about that next. Before we do that, I want to remind you, no down payment necessary for your home means more offers. If you're selling your house and you want to have as much power as possible at the negotiating table, you need to hire my friend Josh Heisall and his team from Keller Williams Realty. Josh and his team have a program that can help buyers get free down payments. Think about how many more people will be able to make an offer on your home with that kind of assistance. More offers leads to selling your home for a higher price. Josh is the only real estate agent in town with a program that helps buyers get that free down payment, and that kind of incentive for buyers makes Josh the best agent in town to list with. Josh knows how to find buyers for everyone because his marketing system reaches thousands of potential home buyers every day. It also helps them routinely sell homes fast and for the most money possible. It's part of why Josh is so confident he can sell anyone's home for top dollar that he will guarantee it. If he can't find you a buyer at a price and a deadline you agree to beforehand, he'll buy the home himself. Josh has thebuyers.com. His phone number, it's his cell number, 901-461-8147. How you feeling about the Grizzlies draft? Talking about excitement, all that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The phone number is 901-445-0929. If you'd like to weigh in and let us know how you're feeling about the Grizzlies draft, you are invited to do so. George and I will continue the conversation. And so I think last night, it begged a couple of questions, I think, in terms of the Grizzlies not taking a lead guard. The question would then become, what does this mean for Ja Morant? And so I think the Grizzlies have made it quite clear because when you take a look at Zach Kleiman last night, when he was asked about it, for tonight, we're focused on the draft. We're focused on getting ready for tomorrow. We're not going to speculate on hypothetical transactions tonight. So it was much of the same tone. It was much of the same message. It just seems very clear to me at this point. They've decided they're moving on. Ja pretty much has decided to move on. I mean, his house is for sale. So the complicating factor is finding a landing spot, because now we have seen where New Orleans, who was also rumored, they have apparently exited the conversation. Minnesota has exited the conversation. Miami has a significantly difficult financial issue in making that work, so that is going to be a very difficult thing. We'll take your phone calls if you want to weigh in. We will start with Sergio. Sergio, how are you feeling right now, my man?
Hey, man, doing well. Thanks for accepting my call.
Absolutely, bud.
I just want to talk about Kareem, man.
Let's do it.
Memphis have no idea what it means for Mexicans. We are going to come to the forum, and we're going to cheer. You know, there's a new fans over here. So we are so excited. I live here in Memphis, of course, but the entire country is going to cheer from Grizzlies.
How would you have considered yourself an NBA fan before? I mean, that's one thing we have in this town. We can also have Grizzlies fans that maybe aren't the world's biggest NBA fans, but they like the. Would you have considered yourself an NBA fan?
Yeah, I'm an NBA fan. I'm a fan for another team. I will not say the team because I don't want.
It's okay. We won't hold it against you.
But this thing is different. Like, I told I'm being living here in Memphis for 12 years, and I always try to love the Grizzlies and support them. But, you know, that's the hard thing about when you like a team, it's hard to switch.
Absolutely.
Unless Kareem Lopez is drafted by the Grizzlies. And I told my friends about this, and, man, we are so freaking excited. All the community is going to support him. There's going to be more Mexicans and Latinos in the forum. It's just going to be amazing. So we're so excited for Kareem being here. And then I already DM'd him. If he wants to eat good tacos, he knows who to reach out. My mom can make a good mole and any Mexican he needs, we are here for him.
Yeah, my first thought for him is, like, he just needs to post up on Summer Avenue. Like, anywhere you go, you'll be fine.
Yeah, my parents live around Summer Avenue, I say, hey, you want to eat real Mexican food? You just have to come to my mom's house. But I will do my best. I will do my best to contact him. Hopefully one day I can meet him. But, man, what a day to be a Mexican in Memphis. I don't think I will say that.
Appreciate the phone call, Checo. Thank you.
All right.
If you want to weigh in, you are welcome to do so. The phone number is 901-445-0929. We'll go to our friend Nick in downtown. Nick, were you excited last night?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it went kind of the way, you know, I thought it would. I thought we might get a guard, but I was glad to see him draft another, you know, kind of big guy. And, you know, I was at the watch party last night.
One at the forum?
Yeah.
So walk us through the scene. So I've seen the videos. When the Jazz get up and they announce the Jazz's pick, I've seen the video from Calkins' Twitter. Like, that sounded like maybe not as big of an applause as when Cam was, because there was pretty much excitement. But I think it's because everybody knew that meant Cam was going. It felt like everyone was in unison. Like, please don't take Darren, or please don't take Boozer.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was the overwhelming sentiment. Yeah, you could tell everybody was, you know, expecting the pick, and when they said Darren Peterson, you know, everybody's pretty happy. Shoot, I lost my train of thought.
At the forum. And Kareem.
Well,
yep.
Yeah. They,
no lead guard.
Well, they'd kind of alluded to us, like Pete and Eric, They said at the beginning when they were going to the Grizzlies pick, they were like, well, you know, we got all these picks. So, I mean, but we do have, like, pretty much almost a full roster. So don't expect us to walk away with, you know, two or three draft picks out of the draft. So, you know, that's kind of to be expected. You know, I think Mexican player we drafted.
Kareem Lopez,
yeah. It doesn't seem like he's going to be here, like, right away. I don't know if he's still under contract with New Zealand or what's going on with that, but, I think they'll just, you know, let him play that out, you know, no rush to get him here or anything. But, yeah, I mean, it was surprising to see him go big. You know, everything pointed to them getting, you know, like a lead guard or, you know, whichever. But
were you disappointed that they didn't?
No, not at all. I've called in several times when we've been, you know, discussing the draft and stuff, mostly on, I think, Jason and John. But I felt like we were pretty guard heavy to begin with. A lot of guys, you know, I don't necessarily getting like, you know, legit time, but, and you know, we do have Cam, we do have Ty, Liger and I, we still got Ja for right now.
Scotty.
It's just Scotty. Yeah.
I mean, he was hurt, so it's, you know, yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to forget about all those guys. Like, I still got to remind people about Ty Jerome. He's solid. Cam, probably forgetting some other people, but, you know, I guess this year we're going to see what we got, you know, hopefully see some Gigi and some meaningful basketball. You know, you don't know what you're going to get with that. Coward and Wells, you're excited to see if they progress. You know, Cam, I think, you know, he slots a little bit better at three rather than like five or something, but he's like a good 3-4 combo forward, I think, in my opinion.
Appreciate the phone call, Nick.
But, yeah, man, no problem.
Taking your phone calls if you want to weigh in on last night's draft. The phone number is 901-445-0929. We go to Justin and Olive Branch. Justin, how you feeling?
Hey, Jeffrey, I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. Good to be talking to you without the pressure of trying to beat you at Righter Than Right trivia today.
Listen, I want your thoughts now. We don't even need to worry about who's right or wrong.
So here are my thoughts, man. I watched the draft, and I kind of did expect us to go lead guard. So the fact that we did not, it poses, you know, this question comes to mind. Do you think there's a possibility? I know Josh got the house on the market. I know all the trade talks, but there's not really a trade market for Josh, right? Like, he can't necessarily get to where he want to go. Is anybody going to want to pay him what he wants to be paid or what he thinks he's worth? Do you think that we could possibly just pair Josh with some of these young guys? We have this young talent. He would be the veteran in the locker room now. Maybe we just see how it goes to start the season off. And, you know, do you think it's possible that he sticks around, or, like, no chance? All new young core.
I want to say I don't think it's possible, but I almost wonder if they are heading to a point where I've always thought what was best for both parties was they need him to suit up and play and then try to find the best spot. But they both sides seem very reluctant, and there's been no indication that any of that has changed.
I just would hate that, man, because I think with this young core, you know, it would be a new chapter for him in the Grizzlies. You know what I'm saying? He's had some time off to step back and reflect. And I guess I'm just being selfish. I'm not ready to turn the page on the Ja Morant chapter, but hey, it is what it is, man. It is what it is.
Justin, I appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
901-445-0929. If you want to weigh in, we'll go to Mike. Mike, how are you feeling right now?
Well, first off, I do want to agree with y'all about the Boozer stuff. He has one of the best high school resumes. He did his thing in college, all that. But I think a lot of people really wanted them to get Wilson, Caleb, just because he's a little probably higher sitting, a little more versatile, can move around the perimeter a little more.
He's definitely more electric. There's no denying that.
Yeah, but Boozer, he might fill out. You know, he know his dad's gonna coach him up right and get him right, make sure everything all good. But I feel like with that other pick, we probably should have used it with this being such a good draft. Passing up on like Sturts, Christian Anderson, even LeBaron. You know, him playing for Thad, that would have been pretty cool.
I was feeling, because you know, Coach. That's why Coach isn't with us. He's up there. And when LeBaron was falling, I was like, oh, boy, I feel bad for my guys.
Yeah, and then, you know, even going to get a guy like Isaiah Edmonds, Malik Thomas, you know, that would have been cool. But it's like they draft a foreign person every year. Like, I don't have nothing against it. But, you know, it's just like every year it's going to be at least one foreign guy that they end up picking. So I just hope it all pans out.
I do think when they got – the guards that were available when they were at 16 and 17, I think they did the math of, because those were a lot of the undersized guards. I do think their calculus is we've got a lot of those already.
Yeah, that's true. You know, just got to see what we're going to get back with this Ja thing if we get him out of here. So hopefully we can do something like the books and get just about everything, you know.
I don't know if we're getting everything. Appreciate the phone call, my man.
I appreciate it.
We'll take two more on this before we take a break. Let's go to Chris. Chris, how are you feeling this morning? Or this afternoon, I guess I should say.
Hey, I'm good. How you doing, Jeffrey?
Doing great, my man.
So I went to the draft party last night. And
the one at the Forum?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you're 100% correct on the vibes. When they picked Darren Peterson, we were happy because we knew we were getting Cam, and I was just praying that we didn't get Darren. So I really wanted Cam. And then what I guess I want to give the Grizzlies kudos for is that they didn't force picking a guard.
Yep.
They didn't get the guards they wanted, and they didn't settle for the second-tier guard. So I was happy with that because we already have a handful of guards that can – run the point, you know, and hold us down, you know, until we get the guy we really want. What I was disappointed in, though, was that we didn't try to move up into the top 12 to grab Mara. I felt like we needed to get some security, you know, to back up on Edie, because we can't depend on Edie to stay healthy. So I would have felt like we should have did whatever it took to move up and get Mara. What do you think about that?
I think they believe in Edie. I think everything that happened injury-wise, it's tough because being a Grizzlies fan, you have injury PTSD.
Yeah.
I think they feel as good as you can, and I think they would have thought that that's redundant. I think when they were actively trying to move up, I think they were trying to get one of the guards that was in the Flemings, Burries, Acuff, that run.
I'll back it up.
Appreciate the call, my man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeffrey.
We'll take one more on this before we take a break. Icy Smooth, welcome to the program. How you feeling, my man?
Jeffrey, how we doing, man? Been a little while. I think we're feeling pretty good.
I would say like an 8, a solid 8.
I think so. I think you got to give it an 8. I think you've got to give it at least an 8 because I think the first thing that really catches my eye is the fact that the Grizzlies could turn their 16 pick into the 21 along. Now here's the kicker for me: to get 5 second round picks. I mean, look at Sam Presti, man. Look at the Thunder. This is how they built the team that they have now. Granted, they lost and they got knocked out and they didn't win the finals this year. But to get 5 second rounders, what does that equate? Can we turn that into maybe 2 first rounders, 2 late first rounders? I mean, this could really get interesting. I know everybody wants to win now. I know everybody wants to win this year, maybe next year. But over the course of the next 2 to 3, 4 years, I mean, the Grizzlies really could develop even more of a war chest than what we're currently giving them credit for right now.
No, I agree, because I do not think it's about next season. I do think, though, it's about the next 2 or 3 seasons. And I think what they've learned from the last early run is when you get the good players that are on the early deals, you have to be aggressive, and that does give them more ammo. I'm still wondering if maybe they're stockpiling those to to maybe – I think that it's very clear to me they do not want to attach a first to send out Ja, but maybe would they be –